Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This episode of Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends contains references to suicide. Listener discretion is advised. Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So today is an everything episode, and I love every second of it. Panic attacks, strong opinions on mental health and how the individual handles it and how that is entirely up to them. Health anxiety, being a prick to people who don't really deserve it, the NHS, it has everything. My guest and I are talking all this and more. Okay, so it is 2019, the big, big year, the biggest of all the years before we knew what COVID was and everything went to shit. One time to be alive. But we are in October of 2019, and we are in France. What area of France are we in?
Southwest, near Bordeaux.
Oh, Bordeaux.
Oui, oui.
Famous for its
wine. Yeah.
Famous for its wine.
Also voted one of the prettiest cities in the world in 2020, I believe.
Voted by the French?
Probably. Not in the French.
So it's October, we were in Bordeaux, is 2019, and in this moment, why do you think you've got no friends?
I don't know, maybe just because I was like, probably just a mess that was about to explode. That's why.
Sorry, it's not funny, but it is.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You got to laugh about it, right?
It's hilarious. Yeah, go on.
I think it's because I was a bit of a mess that was about to explode.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why.
What were the reasons for this explosion? Or imminent explosion?
I love it. Going deep straight away. I like it, mate. I'm rolling with that. So, as like a bit of background,
mm-hmm.
So I've like suffered mental health issues my whole life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like discovered that I had OCD tendencies from like the age of like 9, 10.
Wow.
Like severe. Like, when I was a kid, I used to like check my light switches, and I used to roll out of bed.
Yeah,
it was like 7 times each night because I would check how quickly I get out of bed just in case my bunk bed fell on me. Like at 9 years old, you shouldn't be thinking that stuff.
And like, and that was a repeated thing.
Yeah,
every night to check
every single night. I would do that at 9. Do you know what I mean? So like my history of like OCD and just general anxiety about everything, and then probably like what I kind of discovered and realised later on through therapy was kind of depression and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my, I guess, my pretty formative years were full of like
Were you diagnosed as a child, or was it like...
No.
Yeah, okay.
I was never diagnosed as a kid because it was like... I saw OCD as like quirks. I never really saw it as like an issue until it became an issue, basically. Because as a kid, like, you do weird things, right? You do... that. You have... I had a very vivid imagination, stuff like that. So, like, sometimes they can manifest in different ways. And I thought, do you know what? And my parents, person, they love me to bits. Like, it's not their fault whatsoever. They've already looked at me for... He's a bit weird. He's probably just got a mental imagination.
Oh, that bugs. Oh,
classic
Max. Little boy.
Making sure the house doesn't sit on fire again. Do you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. So that's kind of like my background with like my brain. And then I think when I got to like 18, 19, that's when it was like, oh shit, like this is happening now.
It becomes like crippling. It stops being like in some way like manageable and like a little bit adorable and like a kind of like cute, quirky story about you, when actually it just becomes like it really puts a taking part of your life.
Yeah, really. Well, it became awful. Yeah. Like, it became to a point where, okay, this is actually affecting my life now.
Yeah.
And it is making me sad. It's making me depressed. It's making me suicidal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that's what got to that point where I was like, 18, 19, I was traveling around Southeast Asia with my girl Pilar.
I did the same thing.
How original.
Babe, new age.
Literally, there I am in my elephant pants crying my eyes out. Classic. But like, do you know what I mean? Like, so I went traveling and I realized that all my travels, I was like, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm doing all these amazing things, but I can't stand every single second I'm here. I hate it.
Yeah, being awake is torture.
Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Literally, that's probably the best I've ever heard anyone describe it, is being awake is torture.
Thank you.
It's like, do you know what it is? I heard someone say this. It's like, you don't want to be dead, you just don't want to be around.
That's exactly it, yeah.
And that was me, constantly, from age maybe like, I would say 16 to about maybe 19.
I remember I used to be scared of going to sleep because I was scared of waking up. Like, it wasn't really going to sleep, I was just afraid of having to be awake again.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I completely understand that thing.
Well, when we go down the line a bit later on, I've got something very similar to that, but almost the opposite. But I will...
The thrill of excitement that just jumped through my spine. That Pulitzer is within inches of the grasp.
But yeah, so I that's kind of like a bit more of a background, and I guess the reason why it got to that point was because... my life had been very, like, I'm a very privileged kid. Like, I've had an easy life compared to a lot of people in the world. But one that hasn't been easy is my head.
Right.
Like, that has been my downfall. That's been my hardest thing I've ever had to deal with. And, you know, it's been very up and down. And I thought, because, you know, when I got to 18, 19, you know, I kept it all day. And I was like, nah, like, I need to be a man. I need to, like, men don't get sad, all that stuff, right? And then I was like... I need to talk about this. And basically, I opened up to my mum at first. That's the first person I spoke to. And I was like, I just said, like, out of nowhere, we're having dinner. For some reason, like, the conversation got a bit heated within the family, classic family argument.
Yeah.
Dad stormed off. Yeah. Mum's, like, sat at the dinner table. I'm facing my mum. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just said, Mum, I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
And she was, like, thinking, like... And to be honest, I thought she thought I was going to say I was gay. Because I've been very open when I said I don't, like, being you or me, I don't care. But then I thought she was going to say that. She thought I was going to say that. And then I basically said to her, I was like, I don't think I'm very well.
Oh, like, my God. That is such a big thing to say,
Literally.
Very simple words are so difficult.
And it was that point, obviously her face dropped, and then she was like, what do you mean? And then it's almost as someone literally just turned the tap on, and emotion. And yeah, man, it was pretty mad. And that from that moment, I was like going to therapy, all of that, and it felt great. Like, I was like, cool, I'm getting back on top of this. Until that October, I thought I was a mental health ninja. Like, I had it nailed.
Oh yeah, you're a fucking Jedi. You're literally like, I can do anything. People will come to me.
Yeah.
People will go on a pilgrimage for my advice.
I was talking online about how sussed I had it.
Yeah.
And then, do you want me to start the story of October 2019?
Please, God.
So, weird enough, and my current girlfriend won't mind me saying this, but it's, I was with my ex-girlfriend, and we were actually making love. I'm just saying, to not be crude, we're having sex.
Sorry.
We're having sex. Yeah. And I got like this shooting pains in my heart.
Wow.
Like shooting.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, I've never felt anything like it in my life.
Mm.
And I was like, did I just have a heart attack? Or like, am I having a heart attack right now? So I went to the bathroom and I collapsed on the floor. Like, I was on the floor. I couldn't breathe. I was panicking. I was like, oh my God. But obviously, because I still had somewhat rooted in me this like, nah, I need to be tougher.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah, yeah, yeah. This. Great teeth as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I was like, no, it's cool. I'll let it go. And then every 5 seconds after that, it was just pain.
Wow.
Pain.
Wow.
And it was constantly like that for the ongoing months and months and months. Every 5 seconds, pain in my heart, pain in my heart. And so that's happened. And obviously I tell my girlfriend, and I'm like, oh, like, this just happened, I don't know what's wrong with me. I start panicking, I start going really like spiraling. Mm-hmm. So like places I'd never spiral. Like, I thought I was literally about to die, do you know what I mean? Like that's a scary feeling. Like
yeah.
No sugarcoat, like this isn't me exaggerating. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's it. I was like, I'm having a heart attack in the middle of nowhere in France. The nearest hospital is a 35-minute drive. I'm like, this is cool, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm having a heart attack and I'm 20, how old am I now? 26. I'm awful at maths, by the way.
Oh no, my God, me too. I can't.
26 minus. I was 22.
There we go.
At the time. There you go.
Honestly, I wouldn't be able to do that without doing easier maths.
Yeah.
You're in good company.
Exactly. So yeah, man. So that happened, and
wow.
Basically the ongoing days whilst I was still at home in France, because I grew up in France. Basically, that's why I was in France. My home's in France. That's where my parents live.
Mm-hmm.
I go downstairs. This is the day we're meant to leave to go back to London. So I was living in London at the time. And my heart starts again.
No.
Out of nowhere. I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm actually terrified right now. What is happening? So I go to my dad and I just break down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd kept it, like, I didn't explain the severity of how I felt to my ex. And I basically said to my dad, I was like, mate, I'm dying here. I'm having a heart attack. You need to take me to hospital right now. Like, panic. He sat me down and he was like, you're fine, like, calm down. You know it's your panic. Obviously, he knew I had panic attacks. He's like, it's a panic attack. I was like, no, these are different. I was convinced. I was getting angry.
Yeah.
Like, and then there I am in my kitchen, bawling my eyes out. And I'll never forget this moment, yeah? My dog comes up to me and I'm considering whether I fly home or I go to the hospital. Those are the two options. And I'm a big believer in signs, even if signs sometimes actually they come to nothing. There's no fruition of them. But I do believe in some things. I don't know what, but signs, do you know what I mean? And basically, my dog comes over to me. He's never done this before. Obviously, I'm crying. Because he gets up on my knees. He puts both his front feet on my knees. And just, I swear to God, he just put his hand on my chest.
No, I swear to God, that happened.
I swear.
I know, I completely believe because animals are fucking geniuses.
And I just, that broke me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I broke.
Yeah.
And basically, I was like, I need to go to hospital.
Yeah.
So I went to hospital. They did all the scans, all the ECGs, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're fine. Like, you've got a normal heart. It's beating normally. Like, you're absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I've missed my flight, I want to rebook a flight, stay home a few more days, like all this stuff. And from that point, that basically triggered just this spiral of health anxiety, depression.
Yeah.
My OCD went, I mean, crazy like it had never done before. So it's from that point I was like, oh no, this is not good.
Health anxiety is something that is not often discussed. And I think it's a really important one to discuss because it's incredibly frightening. And similarly to OCD, it completely wrecks your life.
Mm.
It takes over in this way because people go, come on, you know you're not dying. You know you're fine. It's fine. It's fine. Get on with it. And it's like, no. You genuinely believe that this is wrong. I had a guest on the podcast, Robert Lonsdale. He listens. My wonderful friend, when he was on he discussed his health anxiety and how it was always like, the next time it happened, he went, this is the time I won't go, and this is the time that it's actually real. And it's that kind of cycle in your head. You're going, and it's like your dad going, it's panic, and you're going, no, I know what panic feels like, and this is different.
Yeah, this is different.
This is different. Yeah. Was it, can you pinpoint a source of like of where the panic was coming from, or did it just arise one day while you were having sex?
Yeah, see that was my problem, is I didn't know.
That's the scariest.
Yeah, I didn't know. And that's something I later discovered in therapy, because she was like, where's this coming from? And I did CBT. So to be honest with you, like, I don't care about the root of my problems.
Yeah.
I'd rather not know. And I know that might sound a bit contradictory to what people usually talk about, but like, I'd rather not know the root of my problems. I'd rather just have the tools to know how to deal with when the thing comes up.
Okay.
That's my thing. That's my way of living. That's how I've always done it. And it works for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know where the panic came from. And it did, in my head anyway, in the way I see it, it came out of absolutely nowhere.
I think that's that's quite a brave stance to take on mental health and where and why you suffer. Because I know, as someone who suffers with CPTSD, I have a tendency to want to over-explain and make people understand why I am the way I am. And so I feel like I'm gonna go, no, because you don't understand, because this thing happened when I was five.
Yeah.
So therefore, if I'm being a dick, it's not my fucking fault. And actually, I think that your way of approaching it is actually incredibly brave, because it gives you no, I don't want to use the word excuse, I don't like it, but it gives you no out. It compels you to live in the present and attend to what is hurting you directly rather than in any way.
I feel like there's like less justification.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I feel like literally like you just said, so no, because when this happened,
blah, blah, blah.
Like, you've got more, material to basically go to justify why you've done this, why you feel this way, etc.
Yeah.
However, with me, I'm just kind of like, like, I did do it, and you know, sometimes that may be a little bit arrogant, but for me, it's just I'd rather not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't think that will help me.
Yeah.
Like, I know what does help me is people telling me, no, when you do feel this way, do this. And I'm like, oh, cool, that does work.
Sweet. Practical things.
Sweet, perfect.
Yeah.
That's why CBT for me was literally life-changing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah.
Cognitive behavioral therapy.
Cognitive behavioral therapy is the way of land.
Is the way of the
land.
So well put, Emily. So well put.
It is.
This is why you do this job.
This is what you do. It is like people keep saying it should just be like done in schools. Like, it should just happen. I think it's super impressive that you do that, and that you cater to yourself, and you have, in the way that works for you, you have the ability to design your own recovery, and you are doing it in the way that works for you and genuinely works for you. There's no kind of excuse around it, because you're doing active things to help yourself. And I think that is genuinely like really impressive. And I will always say, one thing I've spoken about quite a lot recently is the anger I feel around people's response to mental health when they shove their own opinion and their own way of working down someone else's throat, and going, if you're not doing this, then you're not trying hard enough, or you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Or going, a diagnosis is fucking terrible. No one should be diagnosed, because then you get a label. It's like, going, no, if that's where you feel, if that's how it works for you, great. It doesn't necessarily work for, oh, Mickey's entering the chat, guys.
I really hope people just heard that. Hello, Mickey.
I've used this phrase so many times, but it is not a one size fits all phenomenon, and being able to cater to yourself and do what works for you is really, really great.
100%.
And be able to communicate that as well to other people.
And like, I feel like, I actually said this on a panel not long ago, and like, people agreed with me, but I feel like it could maybe be a little bit, it could start a debate, and I think it's a good thing.
Mm.
And basically I said that, like, social media especially is full of gurus and coaches and whatever you want telling you to journal 6 hours a day and meditate 4 hours a day and go on walks and exercise and drink, don't ever drink alcohol ever again. Stop being so boring, man. Just because I journal and meditate doesn't mean I'm going to be happy. I don't journal.
Yeah.
I don't journal.
Yeah.
I've written in a book a couple of times and it has felt good.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that every day of my life
because I've got shit to do. Yeah,
I've got work.
Yeah.
I've got to see my girlfriend. Yeah. I've got to chat to my mum. I've got to chat to my dad. I've got to...
It's the opinion of people going, well, you're not trying hard enough. It's like, oh, fuck off!
Because I'm sad, I need more stuff to stress about. If meditating an hour a day and exercising and doing all of these things that you see online or wherever in whatever book you read helps you, sick.
Yes, exactly.
So good.
Yeah.
Do more of that.
Yeah.
Because if it makes you feel good, great.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it doesn't work, don't stress about it.
Yeah.
Just because you don't, it doesn't mean you're not going to be happy. Yeah.
That is exactly it. I was saying precisely this in a meeting a few days ago, going, it is actually can be quite shaming when people are going, oh, I meditate. And it makes. I meditate this amount of times a day. I journal for this many hours. I do this. I make sure that this is done, blah, 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 blah. I can't do that. I can't do it. And I don't want to feel like I'm a bad person who's not doing enough because I'm not I'm doing that. Do you know what? Some days it is a goddamn fucking miracle that I manage to, like, I don't know, change the litter tray.
poor
Mickey, who's... no fault of his own, has been shitting in the bath because I was really sick for a few days and couldn't change the litter tray. That's poor stuff, that's not his fault. Well, when I did change that litter tray, God, I felt so good about myself. That was so good.
But yeah, I just think there's a lot out there that tells people what to do and how to feel and what...
Yeah.
And you know what?
If you can
figure out a good way for yourself,
just
carry on doing that. And it may get improved by someone adding a little element of whatever. Cool. I'm always open to that. I'm always open to the discussion of it.
Yeah.
But I also don't need my life to be flipped on its head just so I can...
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to isolate myself from having a drink with a mate or going for dinner or chatting to my mum because on top of my 13-hour days of work, I don't need...
Someone else
going, oh, and now you need to meditate for an hour? Yeah. And then I'm like, oh my God, just, you know. Or also when they're like, don't ever use your phone before bed. I'm like, mate, I'm never going to say that, but I'm literally the person who's scrolling on TikTok, going, oh, it's 2, I'll go to bed.
I basically want it on my phone until I'm so tired. That's when you know
you fucked it, isn't it? When you hit yourself in the face with your own phone.
Oh yeah. And it's so embarrassing as well because it hurts like shit. But like it's because of such terrible CPTSD, such terrible ADHD. I can't, and people are like, you shouldn't look at your phone for 2 hours before bed. I'm like, one, with my ADHD, I don't know when I'm going to bed. It could be in 2 hours. It could be in 6. I don't fucking know. So I can't get rid of my phone 2 hours before bed. When people like do a routine, I'm like, I can't. It doesn't work for me. I have tried, but it doesn't work for me. And that's okay. That's okay because it doesn't work for me. It does work for somebody else.
Absolutely.
And I think it's... just like not, I absolutely say the things that work for me and have worked for me and share them in an effort to be like, this might also work for you. If it doesn't, that's okay. No pressure.
Absolutely. Hello, next.
He's right on the table.
Yeah, you're right on the table next to my microphones.
He's going to rub up against it. And there he goes.
Hello, beautiful pet.
Look at him.
See, this is what you need to get for your mental health. Is an animal.
Yeah.
I don't currently have one, and I know that I need one. Dynamics.
But he really likes you as well.
Hello.
He likes you more than he likes my boyfriend.
Good.
And that's going on the record. Hello, Michael.
Hello, mate.
Hello, Mickle Pickle. He fell out the window a few days ago.
Okay.
He did. Well, it was a little while ago. He fell out the window because he's just a pickle, maybe. I can't. Yeah. So after this experience in the hospital, how long did you stay in France?
So I flew back to London the next day.
Wow. Okay.
Because I was like, I'm a bit of a proactive human. If something's happening, I need to do something about it. Yeah. So I was just like,
I think that's a really amazing quality.
Thank you. I will take that. Mm-hmm. It is the only amazing quality I have. basically, right. So I was in France. I was like, right, I've got to go home. The whole flight back, I thought, okay, I'm going to have a heart attack on this flight, even though I'm going to sneeze. No, I'm not. Even though literally I was told the day before by medical professionals.
Yeah.
People who have studied for 7 years to do this, you're not going to have a heart attack.
And you're like, what do you know?
I'm like, liar. Liar. This you're all lying
joke.
To me.
This is the true joke.
Am I being filmed? Have I been pranked by the prank patrol? Like, do you know what I mean? It's just stupid. And like, the whole time I was convinced, okay, I'm going to have a heart attack on the flight. Because that's just my luck. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I'm here today, so I didn't have one. I got off the flight. I was fine.
Crazy.
But I think it was the few months after that, which I will still say to this day, and I reckon will be the hardest months of my entire life.
Right.
Just lost my appetite, and I'm a big eater. Like, I eat a lot and completely lost my appetite.
Yeah.
Wasn't sleeping well. Or I was either not sleeping at all or sleeping all the time.
Yeah.
We can go more into that in a bit. But yeah, it was mental.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Sorry, an awful joke.
No, I love it. It's funny with these things. You only really realise the stretches of time and how good or bad they were on the Richter scale of mental health, like sort of in hindsight.
Yeah.
Because when you're in it, you can't look outside it. You can't project yourself forward. You can't play it forward. You can't play it backwards. You can't. No. You're just in it, and then suddenly when you emerge from this thing, you look back and go, whoa, that was shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how was that happening? How did I get through that?
Yeah, it's like being drunk.
Yeah.
You know when you're drunk and you're not thinking about time, you can't see forward, you can't see back, you're just like, oh my God. And then it's like the moments when you go to, like, I don't know, go to the bathroom, you see yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, okay, I'm really drunk now.
Yeah.
It's the same as that. Like, for me, it was like, I got out of that moment, I was like, shit, that actually just happened.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was mad.
Yeah. It's I look at the back at months of, like, after I came out of rehab, and I'm just like, I don't quite know how I got through that time. I'm like, wow, you resilient little fucker.
Yeah.
Because that was tough. And you only really realise it when you're actually doing okay. That you're like, whoa, that was really bad. That was really, really bad.
Yeah, I think that is something I absolutely resonate with. Because it was like, that. Like, I remember getting out of that period that lasted, I would say, a good 3 months.
Yeah.
In those 3 months, I had... As some examples, like, I would literally stare into a mirror for like 20 minutes because I just didn't recognize myself.
Yeah.
I was like, where have I gone?
Yeah.
Where has this smiley, confident, bubbly, caring, loving person gone? I was fully lost. I wouldn't eat as much. Like, I would go to bed and I'd go to bed at like 9 and I'd wake up at like 10 in the morning. And that is mental for me because I'm the type of person who go to bed at like 2 and wake up at like 7. I've always been like that. I've never needed much sleep. But it was like, I'm blessed, my ex-girlfriend, like, I will never knock this from her. She was incredible. She would cook for me. She would basically force me to eat. We'd be eating at the table and I would just burst out crying.
Oh my god,
I just burst out crying because I couldn't eat.
Oh fuck, I know. It's apparently the moon is big, and also I've like been on a weird animation swing, but like, this has made me very emotional.
Because
it is the thing of going, really, really relate to you saying, looking in the mirror and being like, where have you gone?
Mm.
Where are you? And I don't know how to get it back. Yeah. I don't know how to get you back. And you like, I spent a lot of time really like, really mourning. I was in such mourning for my past self. And it was so sad because I'm never going to get that back.
Yeah.
And what's strange is that in a lot of ways sort of haven't, but for the best reasons.
Yeah.
Because rather than in any way going backwards, it was coming out the other side and stepping into this new thing, new strength and stories and resilience and new humor and like enjoying different things. And so definitely not being the old person, but being a sort of like an upgrade.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But the mourning for the person that you were when you just cannot function.
Mm.
Did you, and you don't have to answer if you don't like, did you go on any kind of medication?
No. Okay. So I'm not post-medication now, I'm pro-medication. If you need to take meds, use it. Take it. Like, use it. I see it's like a crutch. It's like, if someone's got a bad ankle, you're not going to be like, oh, it's got crutches.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, if you break your leg, no one's going, come on, just walk it off.
Exactly.
No one is saying that.
Exactly. So yeah, like for me, I'm absolutely pro-medication, but I've never taken meds. It's something that I discussed thoroughly with my therapist and she basically, who's like, my therapist is amazing, by the way. She rinses me and takes the piss, and that's what I need, right? And she was just like, look, like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You don't need meds right now. Like, I don't think you need them. We can work for it. And I did. And, you know, it's still something I'm open to today. If I get sad again, if I get low again,
yeah,
I'm open to taking medication. Like, I'm sure you won't mind saying. I won't say it.
I can't.
It's someone I know who's very close to me, who's on medication,
yeah,
who has only started kind of recently taking them,
uh-huh,
who swears by them now. And I basically was going to say who it was, but I can't say who.
Oh, okay. Right.
But absolutely swears by them. And, you know, I love the fact that they take meds.
Yeah.
You're doing something about it, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's so good. And, you know, for them, they were like, therapy didn't really actually help me that much.
Yeah.
Because I talked to people anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is helping me is meds. And I was like, cool. And it brings it back to, if it helps you, do it.
Exactly. That's the thing of going, I just hate it. I hate it when there are people using their, like, blanket, very, like, blinkered.
Yeah.
Opinion of going, this is bad.
Yeah.
It's like, there are things in the world that are legitimately bad.
Yeah.
Fascism is pretty shit.
Yes, it's pretty shit.
Racism.
Yes, very bad.
You know, all of that, those are things you go like, yeah, yes, those are bad things. Yeah. Do you know what? Taking medication to help your mental health, that's not a bad thing.
How dare you? How bloody dare you? Disgusting. Ban her!
Disgusting.
That would be so
dramatic.
I was fucking warning you. Honestly, people are weird, man. People are weird, and
that's so weird.
There's always gonna be one person who's gonna find a problem with whatever. And you know, someone's gonna find a problem with what you said today. Someone's gonna find a problem with what I've said today. I'll probably look back in 5 years and find a problem with something that I've said today.
100%.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Because
that's
how humans evolve. Yeah. We say shit sometimes that we don't mean. Whatever. Like. That's how we learn.
Our opinions change because that happens.
Yes, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I might, in 5 years, go, maybe I should have been on medication. And me going, I don't need it right now, might be completely and utterly wrong.
But how can you know?
Exactly. So we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, man, it was like, I think one thing that really struck a chord with me, with that whole me kind of losing myself, was like, and this is no fault of her own, because I absolutely adore my mum. She is my entire world. Like, my mum has helped. If it wasn't for my mum, I'll put it on record, if it wasn't for my mum, I would be dead.
Tamara.
I would be dead. And
sorry, it was not me laughing, it's just so I understand.
Literally. And she has always said to me that when I was a kid, I would wake up smiling.
Fucking hell, yeah.
I would wake up and I was the smiliest child.
Yeah.
I was always smiling, even as a kid. And even when I was a teenager, man, like even when I was struggling, I would still be like, oh, I'm smiling today. Like yeah. I was good. And I wasn't doing that. And I hadn't done that for a while.
Yeah.
And I hadn't found joy in anything. And I was like, okay, this is really shit. Because even smiling is too much.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was, is even in those periods, like, this is when I know I'm a resilient little fucker, like you said, like you are,
yeah.
is I would, if I'd see a friend who didn't know what I was going through, switch back
straight
on.
Straight back on.
Straight back on. Hey, man, I'm all good, man. Yeah, loving life. Honestly, I'm loving everything.
Inside, I was fucking dying.
I hated myself. I hated life. I hated everything.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was keeping me there was the fault of my mum.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Really?
And it's you know, it makes me emotional to say, because it's like, I look back at my time and I'm like, fucking hell, I was lost, mate.
Yeah.
I was a goner.
But you literally only see it after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, you only see it after.
Absolutely, man.
How bad.
Yeah.
Of how bad it was.
But also, I also now try to find humour in it.
Oh, God, that's what I do.
Which I think really helps me. It's that I look back at it now, and I went to A&E quite a few times.
Mm.
I went to the doctor so many times. And I remember the doctor sitting me down. And this is I'd seen medical professionals about my heart, right? And I kept getting the pains. And then it's the first time I heard of psychosomatic pain. First time I ever heard of it, because that's what I still have it now. I still have the heart pain all the time. And he basically was like, I need tests done. I was literally ordering him. I was like, give me tests now. Like, I wasn't being nice.
Yeah.
And I was openly saying that I was being, can I swear, badly.
I was being a cunt.
I was being a fucking cunt. I was in the doctor's office, and with a medical professional telling me I'm fine, I'm saying, give me fucking test.
Yeah.
Literally like that.
Yeah.
And I was being a cunt.
I would openly
say that. And he literally looked at me and went, Max, I think this might be more of a mental thing, not physical.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean?
Were you livid when he said that?
I was angry.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I've been through mental health issues my whole life. I know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then I got out of there and I was like, you're such a twat. You're such a twat. I was like, I could have just listened. But then I find humour in it, because all I can imagine is after I've left, the doctors have sat there and they've gone, what the fuck is up with that guy? Why is he being such a dick? Like, I'm literally, he's like, I've studied for years. More, I haven't even been to university. I failed all of my schooling. I'm a shit at school. And I'm there saying, you're wrong. You are wrong, doctor. Like, for me, that's ridiculous. And, like, even stuff like it, my health anxiety then went from, you know, my heart being a problem to then I was constantly checking my skin for lumps. As soon as I felt a lump, hey, I'd be like, oh my God, I've got a tumor. I've had hundreds of tumors, apparently. Do you know what I mean? Loads.
Mm.
And one of the worst ones was basically, I felt what I thought was a lump on one of my boys.
This is exactly what happened with Rob Lonsdale.
One of my boys, yeah. I was like, oh God. I was like, that feels like a lump.
Yeah.
That does not feel like that should. And then I was like, I need to go to the doctor. Anyway, went to the doctor and I'm like standing there. And he's like, right, can you drop your pants? And I'm like, this is the first time I've done this, bear in mind, right?
Fuck.
And honestly, it's a cold room. And I'm being honest, I'm not wearing a doubt, do you know what I mean? So it's a cold room. It's a cold room. And I'm like, standing there with my cocktail sausage. And he's literally having a feel. He's like, it feels a little bit off, which obviously sets my heart off.
And what do you mean by off?
Have I got cancer? Like, and I'm like, he's like, chill out, go get a scan, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's like, I was like, when's the scan? He's like, oh, it'll be in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Obviously, NHS. Love the NHS so much, it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
But in that state of mind, I was like,
oh, well, I'm going to be dead before then.
I was like, absolutely fucking not. Yeah. Next day, booked a scan at like some private place, cost me like 300 quid.
Yeah.
And I'm just sat there with this lovely Russian geezer. I'm sat there with my willy in my hands, my balls all jellied up, and he's scanning them. And I'm just sat there, and honestly, something clicked in my head. I'm thinking, this has gone too far. I'm like, this has gone too far right now. I don't even know if I have a problem, yet I'm lying here with my balls jellied up and a man touching them. I'm like, nah, yeah, this is.
And I paid for this. I
paid £300 for a man to fill up my bollocks with like some weird gel on them, going, you're fine. And I remember walking out of there, and that was the moment where that was like the last, I guess, doctor's appointment that I had that was completely unnecessary.
Mm.
I remember coming out and thinking, what the fuck are you doing, mate?
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah.
Like, I come out and I was like, nah, I need to sort my life out here because this is not good.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Yeah.
But that's my thing is like, I look back at it now and I can laugh about it.
Yeah.
But when I'm back in that moment, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
So scared because, and I actually heard this somewhere, yeah, so I'm chatting loads. I heard this somewhere, yeah, where if you, and don't take this as fact because it might be complete and utter bollocks, but I kind of like to believe it's true.
Go on.
If you tell yourself, like for instance with health anxiety, if you all of a sudden think, I've got a lump on my balls, it's cancer, I'm going to die within 6 months, right? Because that's your casual health anxiety brain process, right?
It's
bang, 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 everything's going to end, the world's over, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The same chemical reaction that you have in your brain happens if you are actually told that.
Wow.
So me telling myself, I've got all this going on.
Yeah.
And a doctor sitting me down saying, we're really sorry, we've actually found a lump and it's cancer. But
yeah,
same chemical reaction.
Wow.
And I was like, when I read that, and it might be total bollocks, but when I read that, I was like, oh, that's probably not good for my health.
Yeah.
It's like, I get heart pains all the time. I'm probably not helping my heart.
All of these illnesses all the time.
Like, it's just mental. It has no sense. I thought I had meningitis for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%.
Because do you know why? I watched My Sister's Keeper, which is one about leukemia. She had marks on her back, and I thought, my skin looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
Google it, meningitis, or I'm pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, well,
you can only be one of those.
Well, I'm definitely not pregnant, so I've got meningitis. And I'm like, I'm calling up my mates, I'm calling up my ex. Like, I think I've got meningitis.
Yeah.
Like, they must have been thinking, like, what a little weirdo. But I was so lost at that time, do you know what I mean?
It was so lost, and you really have to forgive yourself for those things. Mm. And I know that a lot of people say that humor is, that there's a coping mechanism and blah, 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 but trust me, like the amount of times I use fucking humor for everything.
Yeah.
I don't have to laugh at
it. It's the best medicine.
It's the best medicine.
It literally is.
I said there are some things that I did that at the time were so, they were so bad. They were so, so bad.
I kind of want to know.
I'm trying to think about like, what is a really good one. There are so many that I'm like, oh my God. You fucking idiot. And like shrouded myself in like in the layers and layers and layers and layers of shame. And then now I look back at them and I'm like, that's actually quite funny. That's actually quite a funny thing what happened there. And being able to laugh about it, and I will always say
that life, as bad, as horrible as things get, in the end, it becomes a really good anecdote. It does become a great anecdote. There are either things that are so fantastic and brilliant and wonderful, and become great anecdotes as well. But then the shitty things, people want to hear about when you really fucked up.
Yeah.
Because we all fuck up, and it's really fun to know that you're not the only one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of what's like dirty shit I did. Actually, I can't talk about it on here because I don't know who listens.
Fair enough.
I don't know who listens.
I get that. Don't worry.
Yeah. No one listens. I can reveal it. But yeah, it's... I genuinely think that having a lightness of touch around this stuff, being able to look back at it So I'm not seeing this period of time being covered in like dark, stormy brackets of cloud going those months from October to February. Going, there is a bracket of dark, stormy cloud and a bracket of dark, stormy cloud. Yeah. No, we can't, we must never speak about this. I mean, this is terrible. Actually being able to look back at it with the lightness of touch and being able to be... not proud of it, but at least just like being able to see it yourself.
I think proud is the right word.
Because I like genuinely, like we said, resilient little fucker. You're just like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Look what I just did.
Literally. I think also like, that also takes time.
Yeah. So much time.
Like, I remember the next October was, what if I go back there?
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go back to that place. And that was the first thing I said to my therapist, was like, when I started to feel better, was like, I don't ever want to go back to that place.
Yeah,
and she was like, you won't, because you've been there now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made it out.
Mm-hmm.
You will never go that low again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I fucking own that. I really hope there's not a lower, because trust me, that would be bad.
There can't be. Like, you're like, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Literally. And I think, it takes time, because I literally remember just being like, there's, I can't go back there. Mm-hmm. So now, and still to this day, when it gets close to October, I have a little moment to myself and I'm like, you're cool.
Yeah.
You're good, bro.
You're good, you're right.
Like, you get these heart pains all the time. It's not a fucking heart attack.
But there is such a thing as, anniversary trauma, the anniversary. I have it around the date of coming up to my sobriety date, because that was obviously I've been sober since the day I went to rehab, and the reason I went to rehab was because it was pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
And so when I get to that time in January, and I'm like, oh my god, is it going to happen again? You sort of feel like you're back there, and I remember sort of describing it like I was on this tightrope between pure ecstasy and complete despair.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's a very, very flimsy sort of bit of cellophane in between the two of them, and you're not really sure which side you're on. Because you can look at the growth and the journey of it, but you're also like, oh my god, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad, and I'm so scared of that happening again. I think my theory is with mental health, with these incredibly, incredibly bad times, and getting to the point of trigger warning for anybody listening, suicide, but getting to the point of genuinely trying to take your own life and try and being suicidal. It is so deeply, deeply serious. But being able to talk about those times and describe it and be at peace with it, rather than feeling like you're punching yourself in the face or punching others in the face with it, of just going, there's just a certain lightness of touch that is okay. And mental health, a lot of mental health literature is very dense. A lot of mental, like, you see how these gurus and things going, meditate 5 hours a day, run 16 miles.
Yeah, innit?
I have asthma. I can't.
I have seasonal asthma. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not hard as nails. I'm not David Goggins. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not. I run
I'm not that guy.
And David Goggins will shame you.
Yeah, literally be like, you pussy. And I'm like,
he's such an unwell.
But do you know what I mean? That for me, there's mental illness in that as well.
Oh, they're complete. He is a deep.
That's self harm.
Yeah.
I see that as self harm.
Him going, I broke my knees and I run.
Oh, well done, you broke your knees.
Jesus Christ.
It sounds. Do you know what, mate? Right. Go on holiday. Go Benidorm. Go Benidorm. Can you imagine David Goggins in Benidorm? That'd be hilarious.
Go on. Go down the strip. Get on the mechanical pool. You'll be on there longer than anybody else.
You're so right, and you know, it's with the whole like I think it is that lightness of touch. Mm. And I think it's, you know, I remember, you know, I'd be in bed and my OCD would basically be telling me like I had a fear that I was going to kill myself.
Yeah.
That was my OCD fear, basically.
Yeah.
Because I lived literally next to a train track.
Oh, yeah, bye.
And every day, I'd hear that train go past. Every time I'd hear one, my little brain would go, you're going to throw yourself in front of them.
But that is something about OCD that a lot of people don't know, is the intrusive thought nature of it and the repeated images or repeated thoughts. They go in cycle because OCD does exist in the past that you say, you know, about rolling out of bed or like I remember my mum telling me the story about how she was kooky as a child when she used to every night at midnight clean her room and then turn in a circle three times. So I was like,
sounds quirky.
Oh, you kook.
Yeah, quirky sounds a lot like OCD, doesn't it?
A little thing that should be in therapy.
Yeah.
I would say that sounds like OCD, but OCD also exists in the way of seeing images that you don't want to see or thinking that you're going to do things. And like, it's almost like, have you ever thought about something? I do it sometimes. Like I imagine holding my friend's child and dropping it.
Yeah,
and I go like, oh my God, can you imagine if that happened? Can you imagine if that happened?
Mm.
And then you feel, and so, but it's probably the same thing that like, when you tell yourself what happened, you have the same chemical response as if it did actually happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go like, fuck, and you know that's not, you know it, you're not even holding the baby.
Yeah, literally.
But like you
she
see
she doesn't
it.
Even have a baby.
She doesn't even have a baby. There is no baby. But like, you're just thinking there is one.
Yeah.
And you can't stop seeing it. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. And it takes over so much because then people are trying to talk to you and all you can see is, you know, what you're saying, seeing a dream or hearing it or
mate,
thinking
intrusive thoughts that were and still are at the bane of my life.
Oh my God.
Every day.
Nightmare.
Every day.
There's nothing you can do. And you go like, my brain should be on my side.
Yeah. Every time every time I'd hear a dream, that's the first thing I think. Every time I'd hear a siren, I'm like, hey, they're coming for me. Yeah. Whether it's an ambulance or a police car, it's for me.
It's coming for me. They know something that I don't.
Exactly right. Yeah. And it's that thing of like, you know, it'd be like, oh, what if I just stabbed this person?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh my God.
Am
I a murderer?
Did I just
want to kill someone?
Yeah. Did you have it when you were at school in assembly? And you'd be like, I could just start shouting.
Yeah, so me as a kid, I had that so much.
Yeah.
Like, I when I was a kid, they were more, they were more like violent. So it was more like, I could just push that person downstairs.
I could just stab
him in the neck with my scissors.
Yeah.
Like, so obviously later as an adult, I was like, oh my God, okay, this will make sense. Maybe I am a murderer.
Yeah.
I think these as a kid.
Oh my God, oh my God, I'm a serial killer.
Yeah.
I'm Jeffrey
Dahmer.
Oh my
God, it just hasn't happened yet.
But I am
capable of killing from. Are you mad? Honestly, I once threw a tennis ball, hit a dog in my face, I cried. So that's how violent I am as a person.
Do
you know what I mean? Not whatsoever. And I think, you know, that's when I was like, okay, actually, do you know what I mean? Probably just my OCD. OCD is a fucker, man.
It's
a fucker.
It's horrendous, and I think that, and I don't, and like I don't mind people doing it so much. I understand that it's like, you know, people use words flippantly or use things flippantly when they go like, oh my god, I was so traumatized by that. Oh my god, I've got PTSD when I go to that. Yeah. Oh my god, I've got such OCD. I'm cleaning this sink, I've got such OCD. It's like, that
pisses me
off. It annoys me. I'm sorry guys, it shouldn't annoy me, but you know what? It fucking does.
It does.
Because
it pisses me off.
I remember speaking to someone the other day who went, I got locked out of the house, I'm traumatized. And I was like, are you? You, because I think you're fine.
Let's call a therapist. You're traumatized when you locked out your house.
Was it bad? It wasn't even nighttime. Like, it's just, it's going, you don't, it annoys me when things get used flippantly or when people use the term triggered or narcissist. You know, narcissist gets thrown about all the time, or codependent, or gaslighting.
Yeah.
People hear these buzzwords and then use them like fucking penny sweets.
I think that's because of social media.
Exactly, it is, because it goes like, boom, 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 yeah, everyone all sees the time.
It. They can use it all the time. And do you know what? Like, I get it, because I've done it. The amount of times I've said, like, because I'm like an energetic person. Yeah. I'm a bit all over the shop. And I'm not diagnosed ADHD. So I do it myself. I'm like, oh, classic. I'm so ADHD.
Yeah, I'm not.
And now I make sure to not say that. Because...
I appreciate
it. Because it's that thing of, I'm not. And it's hypocritical for me to then say, oh, I don't see what you do if you're not. Well, I did the same.
Yeah.
So I understand it and I do get it. But like, I literally just made a video on this recently. And I was like, if... You know, let's say Karen, who loves to clean her bloody house.
Yeah.
And it's so clean all the time. I vacuum once a day. And it's like, I'm so OCD. You're not. I'm telling you right now, darling, you're not.
Yeah.
Right.
You're actually just quite useful.
Have you thought, and this is what I said in my video, it's like, have you thought about throwing a baby downstairs? Have you maybe had inappropriate thoughts towards someone that you shouldn't?
Yeah.
Have you, I don't know, thoughts about stabbing your partner in the face? Okay, maybe that one.
Do you
know what I mean? Like, you don't have OCD. I'm telling you right now, you're just clean. You're a neat freak.
That's it. And that's okay. And one can exist without the other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be tidy. Yeah. Vacuum every day. Be my guest.
Yeah. You can be sad without being depressed.
Thank you.
You can be worried without being anxious.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, there. These things exist in very different realms, and it really, and it also makes me very angry. It's the dismissal of stuff that pisses me off. When someone, I say to someone, "Oh, I've got ADHD," and they go like, "No, you don't. No, you don't. No, ADHD is when I'm my brother, and he won't mind me saying this. I know he won't, because I'm going through it. But he went, when I told him my ADHD, and he went, "No, ADHD is when he got like Anthony pants, he can't stop moving." And I was like, you know nothing, Jon Snow. Yeah. You know nothing.
Yes.
And like, it was one time when I was like, don't you fucking face up to that, because I will beat you to the ground. Like, and he's like, Oxford graduate, fucking smartest man in the world. I was like, don't you fucking come at me with this shit, because I will take you down.
Yeah.
But it does, it's the sort of, these terms being used, which are so, that's so debilitating, have destroyed lives, and people using that in a very casual sense annoys me. And then it means that other people go, oh, you can't say that you're triggered, because that's just like, that's, everyone says they're triggered all the time. It's like, yes, but people say they're triggered when they don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
People say they're traumatized when they don't know what that means, because they've seen the word and assume it. I'm very passionate about this.
It is funny, like, I've done the same thing. My brother did the same. He's like, no, you don't.
So I'm just about to ask if you have siblings.
I said, I got one brother. Right. And he was like, you don't have OCD, your room's a mess. And as I said, like, my eye touched him, like, you don't know what it means. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That stuff like that. But do you know what I mean? I love him to bits. He gets me, and he's got traits of it as well. It don't come out of nowhere. So does my mum. Like, my mum does stuff and I'm like, you definitely have OCD. And it's, it's, like I said, it doesn't come out of nowhere.
And you all grew up in France.
I did.
École
dans la France. École dans la France. That honestly is the best French I think I've. Are you French?
I'm actually French.
No, yeah, I did. I went to school in France as well, which is fun.
Yeah.
Which is probably caused some sort of thing somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being the only kid who literally was like, I went to a school in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So like, I was the only English kid. And when I arrived there, it's like they'd never seen anyone foreign in their life. Do you know what I mean? It was like poking me like, what are you, mate? Like,
he's anglais.
Yeah. Hello. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know a word of French either. Actually, I did know some French.
Yeah.
I knew how to say voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir.
Oh, you didn't?
Exactly.
Do you know the first things I learned to say in French?
Go on.
Le petit chat, c'est curieux.
Okay.
Le petit chat, c'est curieux.
Yeah.
Et n'oubliez jamais qu'une actrice continue à apprendre jusqu'à son dernier jour.
That was a very good accent, I'm not going to lie. Yes. What was it? Say it again.
I actually don't know if I got all the words right.
No, you did.
N'oubliez jamais qu'une actrice continue à apprendre jusqu'à son dernier jour.
N'oubliez jamais qu'une actrice...
Continue. À apprendre.
N'oubliez jamais qu'une actrice continue à apprendre jusqu'à son dernier jour.
Ouais.
French, man. Come on.
Never forget, an actress can always learn until her last hour.
There you go.
Wonder why I went to fucking drama school. So at this point in the podcast, I like to ask the question.
The question.
Not fast one. Well, we've talked a lot about, these things that we struggle with, but what are the things about you as a person that you genuinely, like, really, really value and cherish?
What about myself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hard one to ask.
I know. Honestly, the different response to this is always amazing.
One thing is my work ethic.
Love it.
Like,
yeah.
I'm a grafter.
Yeah.
I will gladly admit I come from a very privileged background. Like, I know I've never had to struggle, and I know I will probably never have to struggle. And I that's just my background. But I've got very working class parents who have done well for themselves. Mm. So that working class graft is just, it is there. And I'm a hard worker.
I think that's such a fucking brilliant one.
Yeah, do you know what it is? Yeah, it is a blessing because I get to do fun things because of it, because I've worked a lot.
Yeah.
But also it comes at a cost.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It does come at a cost. I don't see my friends as much as I want to.
Yeah.
I don't see my family as much as I want to. I probably don't spend as much time meditating and journaling as much as I want to.
Which, as we know, is the secret to success.
It's
the
secret to everything. It's the secret to happiness.
Literally, you don't meditate, then
And you better fucking run 16 miles a day, Goggins. Am I supposed to give multiple answers?
No, you can give as many or as few as you want.
Okay. I'd say my hard work, my jawline.
Yeah,
is one of them. I'll take my jawline.
Do you know what? I take that along with it.
Yeah. I love that.
Did you have a cracking jawline?
Thank you very much.
I knew this profile shot that I've got is really showing it.
And then I would say I'm very loving.
That's really nice.
I love people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the biggest group of friends. Mm. I would never say I have loads of friends.
But that's actually how we connected in the first place. Yeah. You sent me a message saying about the ones who have stuck around.
Exactly. And I have I have a close knit of a group of friends, mm-hmm. and they're the friends that I know that are free and more than I can call, and they'll pick up or they'll come see me, and it's exactly the same for them. Like, you know, some of my best friends are, you know, I say it's because of my mum, but also because of them that I'm still around. You know, some friends have let me sleep on their sofa for 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
3 months I slept in my mate's bed.
Yeah.
When I was really sad, one of my mates as well was just like, yeah, jump into bed with me tonight. You don't sleep in that night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? and like, I know this might sound silly, but both those people are boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, you don't get that as much with men.
No, you don't.
Like, I've had girlfriends, friends who are girls, who would be like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chill with me tonight.
Yeah.
As boys, you don't do that as much.
No.
Because there's more of a stigma around it, and there still is. So, yeah, it's...
No one would bat an eye at it to girls who are friends sleeping in the same bed, and yet there is something that still surrounds...
Yeah, about two guys sharing a bed.
The intimacy of it.
Yeah.
Because even though it's not actually intimate, it's just about being in the same space as someone.
Absolutely. And, yeah, so I would say I'm very loving. I love my friends. I love my family. I love my girlfriend to pieces. Like... If I go all in with love, like,
yeah.
I either will give you time and stuff like that,
yeah,
and I'll be friendly and I'll be friends with people.
Yeah.
It's either that or I adore you and yeah, would do anything for you.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love those ones. Well done.
Thank you.
And then we also like to do a little portion of the podcast where we call Thank You Letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three for which you are grateful.
Oh, I like that. Mm. Okay. I am grateful to one of my closest mates called Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
They are amazing. Because they have always been there for my head.
Yeah.
I'm also very grateful for another friend of mine, Kieran,
mm-hmm,
who is just, he's like my brother. He's basically my non-official adopted brother, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last one is that, you know, I could say I'm really grateful for loads of things. My girlfriend, my mum, like, yeah, so many things. But I think one that... I'm trying to think now. Because of the whole loving thing, I've put a lot of importance on not a lot of people, but basically everyone I know.
Mm.
I'm grateful for all of them.
Yeah. If you love with that amount of,
like, yeah,
that with the amount of love that you have to give.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one.
Go on.
I'm grateful for that October in 2019.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That is what I've been gunning for,
yeah,
because it is in terms of everything that you discuss, everything you go through, all of it, and these times when you are like, I can't do this, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. When you come out the other side of it, fuck me, you're grateful that happened.
I'm grateful for that moment in my life, because one, it shaped how I talk about my mental health, whether that's online or to close family, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It shaped how I think about myself, how I think about moments. Like, it changed everything.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that was like my moment. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sick. This moment was the catalyst in change that I needed. So yeah, that moment was a big moment. Oh, she's going to sneeze. She's going to sneeze.
It's the most inappropriate moment, because that's just, I love that response.
Yeah.
Because it is the reason that I have this podcast in the first place, is because of the lowest moment of my life for now. And I am so grateful for that thing that happened, because it changed my life forever.
Mm.
And I don't think we discuss it enough. So I think that is fucking brilliant.
Oh. Actually, can I say I'm grateful for one more thing?
Is it your dog?
No, it's not. I wish it was. I am grateful for my dog. But I think one thing I am extremely grateful for is that every single doctor, nurse, therapist, anyone that has given me time.
Yeah.
That has accepted me to come into their office,
Be
rude, not be very nice, because I was ill.
Yeah.
Because I was mentally unstable at that time. And they brought me in. And didn't even bat an eyelid. And for me, that's one thing that I just... They are literal fucking angels.
Yeah. Time, space, no judgment.
Mm.
Listening.
Yeah.
Being present. Without making you feel like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Even when you are behaving like one.
Mm.
And you know you are. And you can't stop. And there are these people who sit there and give you the time and space that you need. Because that's what you need. Because you are not doing well.
Yeah.
Then they can see that.
Absolutely. And
that's brilliant.
And they just sit there and they go, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
We can help you.
Yeah.
And there's no, are you sure?
Yeah.
And
it's
all of that. I'm like, and of course there are stories where people do get turned away and we are currently in a mental health crisis and there isn't enough funding and there's a lot of change needed, but
you're gonna sneeze,
isn't it?
I tried so hard. But you're gonna sneeze, isn't it? You're right, and there are
yeah.
That's why you're saying the ones who sit there and do help.
Yeah, I'm extremely grateful for them. I owe them my life.
Mm.
I owe a lot of people my life, to be perfectly honest. And I think that's partially why now I do anything to try and give back and spread awareness and do anything. Because without people like that, then
when you feel like you've been given this gift. of something, of awareness of life.
Mm.
Sort of keeping it secret feels a little bit like a part of this, like, elite Illuminati.
Yeah.
Who have, like, seen the light. I'm going to keep this all myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's going to get a little touch of this unicorn blood. and actually, yeah, being able to, you know, share your experience, be able to help others is so powerful and such a gift. And fuck me, I've got a sneeze just hanging out in the back of my nose.
Look into that light. Go, come on. You can do it. Also, one of the best medicines for depression, yeah? And don't say, this isn't actual medical advice. This is not medical advice because it's not really medicine. Honestly, crack cocaine, no, I'm joking. You need to, honestly, and I swear by this now, if I'm down, watch Queer Eye. Watch Queer Eye.
That's a really good
one. Honestly, I watched that during that whole period,
yeah.
And it just makes me so happy when I watch it
now.
It brought me so much joy. I'd be like crying on the sofa, like in bits, and my mate would be like, do you want to watch Queer Eye? And I'd be there like, I want to watch Queer Eye.
Oh, Can we watch the one with Jonathan Ness goes back to high school?
Oh, Jonathan and Ness is just, I love them.
Do you know who my favourite is?
Hey.
Bobby.
Really?
He's a fucking workhorse.
Yeah, like, yeah,
that's our original.
My girlfriend's called Bobby, so that makes
sense. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today. I now sound like I'm crying because actually I've just got a block nose.
We're actually crying.
I've very nearly cried for a lot of this, but now I'm just full of a sneeze. Oh god, if I was in an audition right now, this would be gold.
Thank you so much for having me, I really appreciate it. And also just like, oh, you've got a little tear coming now. I also want to take time just to say that what you're doing is amazing, and like, I think more people need to do stuff like that. But also, don't get more people to, because otherwise you'll be out of a job, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll be out of a job. That's actually made me cry a little bit. So I really, really thank you so much. Oh god damn it. Okay. I'm gonna link all the links. You can find Max's social media.
My Instagram, TikTok, OnlyFans, or all you want. Imagine.
Love it. Thank you so much today. Thank you.
Please get in touch with your survivor stories or your thank you letters. You can reach us at contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at Emily_Lang_UK or Why Do You Think Podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.